WildTalkRadio.com.
Welcome, everyone, to Monday Night Raw.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post-show.
So, what do you guys want to talk about?
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
If you're the man, what the Rock is cooking.
And Lindsay Ward.
Rest in peace.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
And if you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
This is Monday Night Raw!
It's Monday night, you know what that means. It's time for another edition of Raw Post Show, live right here on Wild Talk Radio, wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WTR live chat. If you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account, it's not Prime Gamers, not Twitch Prime, just Prime, click the promo button below the screen. Apparently it's already September, even though it is not September. Don't ask me how that all works. We're here to talk about Monday Night Raw, which was taped this past Friday in Cleveland, Ohio. And boy, oh boy, you could tell it was a tape show. I am the producer. That's Lindsay Ward.
I mean, it's close enough to September, right? We're, what, 2 hours away at this point?
Yeah, but it started like 2 days ago.
Look, it's just September the 33rd or whatever.
Something like that.
Something like that.
Close enough to September. For September. Who knows? Anyway, we could tell right away Monday Night Raw was a tape show.
Yeah.
One, show opened with a beatdown by Royce Keyes and OTM beating down the Usos. One of the Usos was bleeding, apparently. We could not see the blood. So we'll take their word for him being bloody.
Actually, you could. They didn't bleep it the entire time, or they didn't fudge it the entire time. You could see it, especially on the floor. So it was like, oh, okay. All right, there's blood.
You do see some blood. Jacob Fatu chased them away with a lead pipe. He was livid.
He had a man.
As they say, he was kind of pissed off to open up Monday Night Raw, which then led into Raquel Rodriguez, our sole rooker for the Intercontinental Championship. But Jacob Fatu was like, uh-uh. Before the match could even start, Jacob came out, called out Royce Keyes and OTM, called them a bunch of bitch asses, said they're going to war because they attacked his family. So that was a hot start to the show.
I love how Sol and Raquel had completely different reactions. Like, Sol was actually worried about him. She's like, is he okay? Should I, like, go check on him? Like, she was acting like she was gonna go after him, because she's like, I don't think he's okay. I think he needs a hug. And Raquel's like, come on, man. Like, why are you gonna be like this? Why are you gonna take my moment, you know? Which is both equally fair reactions. But I just thought it was funny how, like, he's calling them out, and the two girls are standing there, and they're like, come on.
Yeah.
You gotta do this now. Like, right now, right this second. But in terms of, like, the parking lot segment, it was actually really good. It was really well done, really well shot. Jacob Fatu's anger is justified, because, you know, his family got attacked, and he's pissed off. And Royce Keyes and co. ran off like a bunch of bitches, and Jacob couldn't catch them. I will say this. I will say this about it. When he was chasing after them in the parking lot with a pipe in his hand, I'm like, throw it. Fucking throw it. Throw the pipe. See if you can hit the back windshield. Do it. Do it, Jacob. Do it. Throw it. See if you can hit it.
Anything. But he did not. He didn't do that. But it was Raquel and Sol for the Intercontinental Championship. Solid match between the two women. It had interferences from Roxanne. It had interferences from Lyra. It had interferences from Liv. It had interferences from Lyra, Valkyria, allowing Raquel to retain the championship.
Lyra, girl, we got to pull it in. You can't be costing my team points like that. Can't be doing that.
She can't be doing that. She seemed to be laughing it up at the end result of that.
I'm glad one of us was enjoying that because I wasn't. Come on.
She seems to be enjoying herself with this character, which is good.
I think in a lot of ways it's freeing for her because she's putting on a character, but she doesn't have to put on a character, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Which is probably nice for her. Also, you know, the fact that she doesn't have to worry about hair and makeup is also a, at least makeup for sure. But I don't know. I'm still not feeling it. I'm not gonna lie. I'm still not feeling it, but at least it's, she's not wandering around looking half as crazy as she was.
Speaking of Intercontinental Champion, the other Intercontinental Champion for the men, Chad Gable Kinder.
Mm-hmm.
He said he wanted to feel that he's made his goal feel real, but you know, he said, it doesn't quite feel that way. He said he realized that the real work starts now. He says now time to define his legacy and define how he wants to be remembered by the fans. He carves his legacy, begins with the Lucha legend, Larry Mysterio. He talked about working in AAA and how much it meant to him. He said he wouldn't be Intercontinental Championship if it was for the Mexican people. He said he didn't want to go to Mexico unless he could repay them. Because Raw, if you haven't heard, is in Mexico in 2 weeks. Cable said he can go back because Raw, again, they'll be there for the first time in 15 years, and he will defend his title in Mexico. And he said he's going to introduce the one person who deserves the shot at his title after his match last week, Dragon Lee. Gable said Dragon's match last week against Rey Fénix was awe-inspiring, and he's all the respect in the world for Dragon Lee. Dragon said he also respects Chad Gable. Gable noted that Adam Pearce allowed him to pick whoever he wants to fight in Mexico City, that which brought out all ego Ethan Page. Page said Gable's out here as a fighting champion, giving away free title shots to undeserving luchadors. Page said that Gable should pick a stronger opponent than Dragon Lee, which is all ego Ethan Page. Gable said Page is on a long list of deserving contenders for his belt. You're right at the top, right next to Honky Tonk Man. Page said that the joke wasn't disrespectful because Honky Tonk Man was one of the longest reigning Intercontinental Champions of all time. That's accurate. Page said that Gable needs not the greatest, but you know, he held the belt for a while. Page said that Gable needs to stop being a charity case or else he'll just become a paper champion. Dragon Lee cut Ethan Page off and called him a limb and trying to cut in while adults are speaking. Dragon yelling more at Ethan Page and said Page has a big mouth and if he wants to prove himself in a match tonight, they can have it. Gable said if it's okay with Adam Pearce, the winner would get a chance to wrestle him in Mexico City for the Intercontinental Championship, which led to All Ego Ethan Page, Dragon Lee for the shot at the Intercontinental Championship. Dragon Lee would end up getting the win. They teased the spot from last week with the big dive to the outside, but Ethan Page cut it off at one point during the matchup. But in the end, Dragon Lee walks out your number one contender.
All right, let's go.
I am glad that he actually had to win the match because he lost last week. So losing a match but having a good match shouldn't always get you a title shot. It's glad that winning a match gets you said title shot.
Right.
We then, correct?
It just makes logical sense. That's all I was going to say.
We then see the World's Heavyweight Champion Roman Reigns arrive. Jacob gave him what happened with Royce Keys, and Jacob, that Royce is now on another level. Jacob knows they've seen this version of Royce before, and that's when they were both younger. Roman was like, okay, thanks for that. He's your problem, and you need to handle it yourself. I have my own problems I need to take care of. Which led to Roman Reigns coming to the ring. He said, being the one true champion, the only champion that matters, and the tribal chief is a burden. Roman said he should be focused on either Rey Fénix or Penta. He said he should be showing them respect because they've earned a title shot, unlike others who bitch and moan all the time about not getting opportunity. Brings up Solo Sikoa. Reigns said he gave Solo an opportunity to earn respect and glory, but he threw it all away for L.A. Knight. You know, he said Knight may remind Solo of The Rock, but he's not family, which brought out L.A. Knight. L.A. Knight said Roman's out here pulling out material where people mock how L.A. Knight is seen as a Rock clone. L.A. Knight talked about Roman being scared And being the OTC is the one tremendous coward. LA Knight said he understands because last time LA Knight and Roman were in the ring, Knight planted him on his big bulbous head. Knight said that Roman didn't even show up last week, probably nursing injuries and rethinking life decisions. Knight said while Roman is doing that, thinking, he's thinking about LA Knight. LA Knight said once you're with the horse, you need to take the ride, and the ride starts right now. And as all that was going on, we see a bloody Solo Sikoa laid out backstage. LA Knight goes to run and check on Solo Sikoa. Jacob Fatu was watching on. All the producers were there. Adam Pearce was there. They had to keep Jacob and LA Knight apart. And then Roman Reigns came in with a Superman punch to LA Knight. Roman told Jacob to take care of Royce while he keeps LA Knight under control.
Bit of a setup there. Just a bit.
Just a bit. I'm kind of confused why Jacob still wanted to go to war for the bloodline and everything, considering the frustration he showed both last week at the Usos and Roman the week before. He's like, WWE doesn't know how they want to book him. I mean, you can have problems with people in your family, but when others come for your family, you're going to stick up for them. So yeah. To me, that's where the booking goes. He should still be frustrated, but he should also stand up for his family. It's still family. And he showed many times, when Jay is still getting his ass kicked, Jacob still shows up and lays the wood down.
Yeah, he does.
So, again, if that was the case, then what does that say about Solo? I mean, he's not in the bloodline. That's kind of the deal there. I'll just go based on how I see why they're telling it the way they're doing it. I think when they're back live next week, we'll kind of have a clearer picture.
I think the difference, honestly, if you want to spin it this way, is Solo didn't want to come back. Solo was being impressed back into the family. Solo defended himself and defended his right to be on his own and not be forced in the family. And I think that's something entirely different than what Royce Keyes has done. Which Royce Keyes has jumped the bloodline now twice and left them laying twice. And the first time, Jacob didn't do anything, right? Because he was forced to stand there, or he forced himself to stand there for reasons that we don't know why. And now he's not required to do that, but the bloodline was still jumped and they were still left bloody and whatever. Solo hasn't escalated necessarily to that point on a continuous basis. He's kind of like, I don't want to be part of this. I don't want to be in this. You're not going to make me. So, you know, just kind of like F off. And he's kind of having that fight with Roman right now. And honestly, it's Roman's business. That's the other side of it. Solo is Roman's business, and Jacob doesn't have any right to interfere in Roman's business unless Roman asks him to. Whereas for the rest of the bloodline, that's Jacob's business, and he's handling his own business. So you could look at it that way too. Yeah, if you want.
Again, it's a slow play. Don't judge everything as everything from weeks. Go back to Batista booking when he was breaking out of Evolution. Slow play. Yeah. You see frustrations a couple weeks, then he gets back in line, and more frustrations continue to build, and there'll be a big break. They're not ready. It's end of August. They're not ready for the breaking point. They teased it. They showed you it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But now things settle back in, and then we'll get where we need to go as the weeks go on. Dirty Dom took on Javon Evans. It ended in DQ when JD interfered. Haha, shocking Judgment Day interference. But apparently someone said his name and he appeared.
Say his name and he appears. I believe in Joe Hendry. I believe in Joe Hendry.
Joe Hendry made the save for Javon, leading to a tag match of Dom and JD versus Joe Hendry and Javon Evans. Within the end, Dominic and JD get the win.
This is really good. This is a very fun match.
Yeah. I like how it went from the singles into the tag. It worked well. It was good.
Again, we could have less Judgment Day interference, but, you know, it is what it is.
But it led to something. So, it had meaning.
It did have meaning. It did lead to something, but again, we could have less Judgment Day interference. It's all I'm asking.
It's their gimmick by now. We have to deal with it.
No, we really don't. That's the thing.
We're this deep in. You have to. We're just dealing with it.
I don't have to be. I didn't bring the right shoes to be this deep in it.
Time to get new shoes. You're this deep into it. Kathy Kelly is backstage with Becky Lynch. She wanted to get some comments. Stephanie McHare shows right up and goes, why did you help me? Becky says she respects Stephanie, tried to fight three people by herself. And well, you know, kind of earned some, you know, respect from me. And Becky would rather wrestle an honorable wrestler in Stephanie for the title than Liv Morgan. Stephanie said, "Gracias," but she doesn't need to help. She said that Stephanie should be honored to team up with someone who's called one of the best female wrestlers of all time, and that's not just her saying it. Becky said she at least hopes to get the first title shot after Stephanie wins, and Stephanie's like, "Aha, that's your plan. I don't need you, Becky." She said the title doesn't need Becky, it needs Stephanie. Interesting.
I like where this is going.
I am. It's a nice slow build to eventually a Stephanie-Becky match or a three-way, but it will be Stephanie and Liv next week for championship as Judgment Day. We're celebrating backstage, and Liv basically said she's going to prove next week that she's the greatest woman champion of all time again.
Please God, don't.
Backstage, Kathy Kelly is interviewing Paul Heyman and asked him for a prediction or a spoiler for the Oba Femi vs. Braun Breaker match. Paul said he's not giving either. He said the match is being promoted as the future of WWE. Paul said the winner continues on like nothing happened, but the loser will have more weight put on him. Paul said he has all respect for Oba Femi due to what Oba did to his client Brock Lesnar. Paul said Braun is the hardest working and hardest hitting athlete in WWE. He talked about all the extra effort Braun pokes in the gym. People check out at midnight. He's there till 2 a.m. He said he has no prediction or spoiler because your guess is as good as mine. Pretty good. Little teaser for Sunday.
We'll see where it goes and how it goes, because I still say Heyman's considering changing sides. I don't know. Call me crazy, but that's where I feel like this is going. Is
also something felt right when he said the match will happen this Sunday when promoting an event this Sunday. It did feel right.
Felt
like old wrestling the way it was. Now it's this Saturday. Everything is this Saturday, but no, it is this Sunday night's main event. But in 2 weeks, it will be Roman Reigns defending the WWE World Heavyweight Championship against either Rey Fénix or Penta. Hell of a main event between the brothers. Penta and Fénix.
Oh my god, this was fantastic.
Great main event. Hard hitting. Everything you want from the two men. Fénix was like, you know, come at me, after his arm was hurting and down on the ground and taunted his brother. Hit a hurricanrana, which was nice. But in the end, it was Penta hitting the Mexican Destroyer for the 1-2-3. Roman Reigns came out to stare down Penta to close Monday Night Raw.
I can think of worse things than Penta going for the title.
Yeah.
I can think of a lot worse things than Penta going for the title, I'm just saying. So, like, I'll take it and not complain at all about it.
I'm curious to see how Roman works a Penta match. Because Roman doesn't seem like the type of guy who could work a Penta match at this stage. But we'll see.
I'm sure they're going to figure out and work it out. Penta may have to alter his style a little bit, or, you know, it may force Roman into doing something that he wouldn't generally do, which either way, I'm kind of fine with. Like, if this gives us something new from Roman, it's cool.
That's good. Yeah. Can he take a Mexican Destroyer? I would assume so.
Maybe.
But this is the hardest Roman's probably going to have to work in a match in a long time.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
Because Penta is quick.
Yeah, he is. Like, Roman kind of got spoiled because at least Seth is kind of slowed down. But Seth used to be fast back in the day. He's still fast, but not nearly as limber as what he used to be. So Roman kind of got spoiled there. But Penta be nimble. Tend to be quick.
We will see what happens in 2 weeks when they square off in Mexico City. But that was Monday Night Raw.
This was a good show. I liked how they set up Sunday night's main event and made it really hyped. I liked a lot of it. I think, again, it's just I would have probably have paused more, and that's just on me. Because, like, again, I'm used to having the spacing to be able to get up and do stuff, and I just didn't do it here because I didn't think about it. But, yeah, this was a good show.
We are live Thursday for the Rack, talking Sunday night's main event.
That's right. Tune in. We'll have news. We'll have notes. We'll have a Sunday night's main event. So it's the Rack, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on wildtalkradio.com.
The NFL season is kicking off, and we preview it this Saturday. On CB Radio, as the boys make their predictions for the NFL season. Sunday night. When Sunday night's main event ends, which should hopefully be 10 p.m. Eastern. He says hopefully it's a 2-hour show. If it goes a little over, that's okay. We'll be live to talk about it with a special guest host. It's Wrestle Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern, this Sunday. We'll be back next Monday night for the Raw Post Show. When Raw ends at a normal time, we'll be live to talk about it. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's Facebook.com. It's Wild Talk Radio Network. Chat if you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Gaming. It's not Twitch Prime. It's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen. It is, I guess, technically September. Whatever that means. You can also use code RockinSock or
Min's M-word
in the Fortnite item shop. Rev Game Store. When you buy your battle passes, when you buy all the collabs that are coming for gaming. Why?
Because we are hashtag epic partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lens Ward, LNSWD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/LensWard. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@symbolLensWard. And you can follow me on TikTok, LensWard0.
We'll see you Thursday for the rack and right back here for the Raw Post Show next Monday, live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.